Well, amen. When we get there, we'll know what to do. Amen. There's a lot of things that we don't know. And there's, that's on. And there's a lot of things that we are left to try to figure out. Yeah, I feel like that's the role of this life, is trying to figure out how to serve the Lord and just how to live for Him. And one day, the reward is ahead, right? The reward is ahead of us. The reward isn't necessarily right now. We're working towards that. John chapter 17 tonight. John in chapter 17, we covered this last time I was here, and we're going to cover some more of it. John chapter 17, let's get to the beginning, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we get started this evening. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this hour that you've given us, this time to go into your word, that we might be encouraged, exhorted, directed. Lord, I pray that you might meet our need tonight. Lord, pray that you'd help us. Lord, would you encourage us? Lord, would you do that which is needed in this hour? And we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Sergeant First Class Alwyn Crindle Cash was born in Sanford, Florida on July 13th, 1970. And he was raised in Oviedo, Florida as the youngest of 10 children. He enlisted in the Army after graduating from high school in 1988. His service included time in the Gulf War and as a drill sergeant. On the streets of Dalia, Iraq, on October 17, 2005, Cash was a platoon leader in the 3rd Infantry Division when insurgents detonated an improvised explosive device under his patrol's Bradley fighting vehicle, and then began firing on it. The Bradley was engulfed in flames, trapping 6 soldiers and a translator inside. Cash escaped with minor injuries, but found himself in the middle of an ambush and covered in diesel fuel. Nonetheless, he dove into the flames multiple times to rescue the trapped men, catching on fire himself with second and third degree burns on 72% of his body. Cash insisted that he be evacuated last. He later died of his burns. You know, the stories of self-sacrificing for the good and well-being of others is really, in some sense, beyond nature. But it's the task of the moment, really driven by the need of the hour. There's no glory in the moment of the work of self-sacrificing. It is literally to go to the grave without receiving the recognition of glory or honor. Sergeant First Class Alwyn Crindle Cash didn't receive the Medal of Honor until 16 years after his death. The glory comes after the finished work. Verse 4 there, at the end, Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We talk about the finished work of Christ. The work of Christ on this earth was really, as we looked at it before, we looked at it so much, but is really this, was to glorify the Father. Jesus Christ finished that task. You know, his life was the beginning. His crucifixion was a continuation. His death was a part of that purpose. His resurrection as well. And then ultimately his ascension back into heaven. That was the work that the Father gave the Son to do. Can I say this? He finished it well. Finished it well. So now we find here in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." It was now time for Jesus Christ to be glorified as he was before he came to this earth. That's what he's saying here. Listen, in order for Jesus Christ to do this work of the Father, he had to put his own glory aside. I mean, listen. There was a choice to step aside from the glory that was his. It was already his. He had to make a choice, make a decision to put that glory aside to do the work that the Father required. There's not a one of us that can do a work for the Lord without putting our glory aside. You know, you can't maintain your own value and worth. You can't brag on what you've done. You cannot glory in your accomplishments. The work of the Lord is absolutely not about you. It's not about me. It is 100% about the Father's will. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4 and following. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." If we are going to glorify the Father, it's going to be without our own glory. The humility, the humiliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was for you and me. His work, his mission that the Father gave him to do, it was you. Look there in verse 6. He said, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." So his work, his mission is you. I'll tell you, this right here is such an unfathomable concept. We, you and I, have been given to the Son. He said, they were yours. And he said, you've given them to me. We, the children of God, the believers, the followers of righteousness, have been given to Jesus Christ as a gift. Man, what a ripoff. You know what I'm saying? What a ripoff. You ever like opened up a gift? Like it was really, you know, like, you know, we have like the white elephant gifts and you go for like the best decorated, like, man, this is going to be great because somebody really made it look pretty. You know what I mean? And you go and open that thing and it's like a, you know, a roll of tape or something. That's kind of what we are. You know, this right here, this is a train wreck. You understand? This is a train wreck and that is a mess there. And the Lord Jesus Christ came by and picked up the pieces, cleaned up the mess, put me on the track, and now he guides me down the road and down the rail. And imagine me saying, yep, look at me now. What a ripoff Jesus got by getting the gift of you and I. But the whole purpose of the Father was for the Son to bring the truth to worthless, arrogant, sinful, wicked men. So that this faithless, rotten people might be given to as a gift to the Son. What an interesting thing. And yet what we find is the Lord is satisfied. And at the end of verse 6 there, he says, and they have kept thy word. I mean, these are the people he would say, oh, ye of little faith, how long must I suffer you? And he's just constantly, he's like, oh, he's dealing with them. He's at the end, even when he's going, being crucified, they didn't understand and they didn't listen. And they were. And he says here, this is, by the way, this is before that happened. And he said, they've kept thy word. They're following you. They're not a perfect people. Yes, they're a train wreck. But now they're back on the rail, and they're living for you, Lord. And he said, listen, that's so. Then the Lord lays out this plan for us quite nicely. What we do from here? Look at verse 7. He says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I'm just saying this tonight, this, the gospel ministry is not of you or me. It's not about what we've done. It's not about how great we are. It's not about how well our life is. You know, sometimes we want to share the gospel about how good my life is now. Look what God has. Listen, it's not really about how good my life is. Sometimes folks that are living for Jesus and are saved, their life isn't so good. Some challenges, some difficulties. So it's not about us. It's about what God has done and the purpose and so forth. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ said it wasn't even of him. He said, I gave them, he said, Father, I gave them your words. They know that, listen, it's the Father's words. It's the Father's truth. It's the Father's plan. You know, listen, somebody says, well, how do you know you're right? Well, I pretty much know I'm not right. What I do, though, is I believe that God is right. It's his words. Jesus, even Jesus Christ said it's not about, listen, now they know that the things that I've told them, the things I've given them, it's not of me, but it's of you. Wow. It was all pointing to the Father's glory. The gospel message is that there is a God in heaven and that he's interested in us. We kind of take that for granted. That's kind of a basic truth that we understand. But you know, most of the world doesn't even know that. They don't understand that there's a God in heaven that actually cares about you. It's kind of a very, for us in America, and we've inherited a Christian nation, a Christian foundation, which is so wonderful. We take for granted that as a nation, people understand that there's a God in heaven that cares. But I'm telling you, the world doesn't know that. And I'm afraid that even in America today, we're getting less and less of that understanding. When I first got saved, and I would go knock on people's door and tell them about the Lord and visit with people, everyone had been to church. You know what I'm saying? But as the years have gone on, I met teenagers that had never been to church. And now I meet adults that had literally never, ever been. I'm talking about Americans, live in America, live in our neighborhoods. How did you never, ever go to church? Well, because their parents didn't go to church as kids, you see. And so something's happening. And so, listen, what Jesus Christ said is this work is to let them know there's a God who has a plan for man. But then, listen, I want to say the second thing, this really is this. Jesus finished his work, but it's the finished work brings glory. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus Christ says here that he is now glorified in you and me. How is that even so? I mean, I just talked about the train wreck, the mess, the sinful way. How is it that we could be his glory? You know, I'd like to tell you tonight, I'd like us to say, you know, we ought to live up to that glory that he says we are in him. We ought to live up to that. But I thought about how could we even do that? I want to tell you tonight how to live up to the glory of Jesus Christ. I know about as much as that as all the things that are going on in heaven. But how could I ever be enough to fulfill being someone that would be worthy of the Savior's glory? This is such a humbling thought. I think about those that were rescued by self-sacrificing heroes. Was the life they saved ever actually worth it? I've thought about this, and as I've been thinking about this and thinking about Memorial Day and this time, I thought, stories like the one we heard tonight, I thought, you know, those men that were pulled out of that tank, that knowing that he was going to very likely lose his own life, were their lives worth it? I wondered if I was one of those people in that vehicle. And that fellow that gave his life pulling me out of there, how could I live to be worthy of someone else giving their life in exchange for mine? Would it cause me to try harder? I don't know. Would it? I was just thinking about these kind of things, and, you know, Memorial Day is about remembering those kind of folks that gave their life for someone else that they can live. I don't know that maybe there was sitting there thinking about it. You know, I'm not sure. You know, this guy in here, I know him. I know how he is. If I save his life, I know he's a mess. You know what I mean? And he's sitting there thinking, can you imagine? You don't sit there and think about it. Because if you sit there and think about it, ain't no one worth risking your life for. You know what I'm saying? Somehow, is Jesus Christ came and he looked and he seen this world. He said, Father, I'll go save them. I'll set my glory aside to go save them. And evidently it was worth it for the Savior. Jesus said in this prayer, this conversation with the Father, that he was not praying for this world. So this isn't a prayer for mankind. It's a prayer of ownership, of relationship with those that believe and those that will believe, and we're going to see that. This is an intimate relationship with those that will sincerely put their trust and hope in the God of creation, in the Father. Can I tell you tonight, I'm His glory. Is that what you thought when you seen me up here? You know, you're His glory. If you're saved tonight, you are His glory. Man. Just as for Jesus Christ, there was no glory for Him in this life and in this world. His own received Him not. I mean, Jesus wasn't heralded as a great person while He was on this earth. Can I tell you what? There's no glory for us here either. Why would we seek for that which Jesus Christ Himself rejected? He said it wasn't for Him to have here. It belonged to the Father. He said, listen, my life, Lord, He said, Father, I've lifted You up. I've glorified You. I've glorified You. That was His whole purpose, was to glorify the Father. You know, He set aside His own glory. There's moments all over through His life that He could have took a little bit of glory back to Himself, but He always diverted it to the Father. He said, there's none here for Him. He rejected it. He said it wasn't for Him to have here. It was the Father's. So why then would we seek glory? I mean, even the slightest bit of glory, which the Lord Himself would not even have. We don't deserve it. And quite frankly, it doesn't exist for us. There's no glory for us here on this earth. This isn't where glory is for us. It is after the finished work that the glory comes. Now, there is a glory for us, but it's in that place that we don't know much about, right? It's in the life beyond, it's beyond this life. That's where, we talk about, He says, set your treasures in heaven, right? He said, listen, there's something ahead. It is, in a sense, received in the same way that Jesus Christ received glory here. Our glory is in those that we bring to the Savior. The Apostle Paul mentioned this about the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? He says, you folks, the ones that we have led to Christ, the ones that we've ministered to Christ. You know, we don't wear crowns in this life. Right? I don't have my crown of rejoicing yet. Right? We're not even meant to have the glory now. But it'll come at the end when the work is finished. So, here's a challenge for us tonight. I'll break the record. Live like you are worthy of the glory of Christ. Honestly, I'm not even sure what that looks like, or if it's even possible. But rather, how about this? Is that we remember. Remember the one that gave us all that you might have life. There ought to be something special about realizing that someone gave their life for you. I'm not sure how I could ever be worth the life of another person. People come back from wars, and we call it now PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They come back with guilt. Why did somebody else die and I lived? Why did that person, we've heard stories and stories. I'm sure we've heard many of these stories. Why did it go that way? Sometimes it becomes just a sad, hurtful, guilt-ridden thing that this is, I should have been me instead, and maybe I should have done more. And listen, folks, I don't know. God has a plan, and the plan doesn't always make sense. But I'm telling you, listen, if somebody, I was thinking about this, people giving their organs, and somebody, somebody's child dies in a wreck or some kind of dangerous way or whatever, and they give their organs so that somebody else can live. I would tell you, the people that receive it are so excited. Families, so excited. And I'm telling you, there's something emotional about, we talk about today, and we think about these, we think about TAPS, and we think about some of these folks that have given their life willingly so that someone else can live. I remember seeing pictures of these men and women sleeping in the dust and the sand in the desert over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. I've seen these pictures. They're covering themselves up with some net to try to sleep in the sand. You ever tried sleeping on sand? It's not as comfortable as it sounds. And they got dust and sand and everything, and they're there. And I remember seeing those pictures, and they're there, and just their face is chapped, and they just... And I sit there thinking, and here I am just laying in my bed at night with some air conditioning. I just felt bad. I thought, I almost wanted to go lay out in the yard. It wouldn't help. You know what I mean? I thought, wow, somebody is living that. I think the problem is we just kind of enjoy our ivory towers. We just kind of enjoy the life that's been given us without recognizing that somebody else is maintaining it, the safety. I just wonder, when we think about that, does it change us a little bit? When you go to other countries and see how they live and you see the lack of freedom, powerlessness and the frustration, and you come back to America and you hear people whining and complaining and fussing about, there's no crunchy peanut butter. They're all out. You know what I mean? And it just, listen, folks, our perspective needs to change a little bit with that. But I'll tell you this tonight, what I want to get to, so it can kind of make a little sense to us in that way. We got to get a little closer to it when we think about these stories. But we think about some man, woman giving their life for us, but how could we ever live worthy of that, let alone the Son of God? And he would look at you and say, I'm going to die for them in their place. I don't know how we could ever live up to it, but it ought to stir me to be more than I am right now. And folks, that's a challenge I want to give tonight. I don't know what it exactly looks like for each one of us, but it ought to stir us to be more than what we are right now. It ought to stir us to say, you know, somebody died in my place, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. And not that he's sitting here having his hand out asking us, what are you going to do for me? But instead in a way that says, I ought to do something for him. Then secondly, with this challenge is this. There will be a time of glorying for you and I. There will be that time. Listen, God said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I mean, he's a rewarder. He's got some rewards, in store for us. There's no question that that day is going to come. I'm excited about it. I am. I'm excited. So I don't like to think about it too much because I get a little too excited about then, and we still got something to do now. You know what I'm saying? But that day is coming, and it's a real day. It's a real day. There's going to come there's a payday someday, and I'm saying it's an exciting day, and God wants to. He's a rewarder. He wants to reward. He's going to reward us. It's going to be a wonderful thing. But it's not now. Don't look for that glory here. All right? It's not now. There's no glory here. There's no glory for it. The greatest thing that we can do now is to live as a self-sacrificing one. You know what our nation needs? Is more folks that will live like another life is more important than their own. What we have in America today is my way. We've got a lot of my way ideas going. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't care which side that's on. Everybody has my way. We're at a place we have outspent all of our credit cards in our nation. Outspent them all. And we can't go on another day. We can't even feed our nation anymore. And they say, you know what are we gonna do? Let's get some more credit cards. They said, no, how about we quit spending? No, let's just get some more debt so we can keep on living. And they said, you know what? One side says, no, let's give more money. We can do it. We can give more loans. The other side says, no, let's don't do that, except for let's go ahead and do it. Right? And we got, as long as we get what we want, and they say, as long as we get what we want, we've done this year after year. Year after year. You know what America needs? Some more folks that just are self-sacrificing. I mean, I don't know that I want to ask for a World War III. Wouldn't it be great if we had opportunity for some more stories? Not really. Not really. What if we would just be self-sacrificing without having to jump in the fire? What this world needs is someone that will give their life, talents, their wealth, their honor, to humbly take the message of Christ's finished work that they too might receive eternal life. I'm telling you, it is self-sacrificing to go ahead and leave a track with somebody. You know, it didn't used to be self-sacrificing. It used to be just kind of that's what we did as Christians. But now it's almost like we have to make a really hard decision. Say, am I actually going to tell somebody? It can almost feel like we're throwing ourselves on the fire there to just tell somebody about the one who gave his life for us. Can I say to you tonight, I'm going to finish with this thought, this statement. That's the only thing that will turn into your glory in eternity. One more thought. I don't know what it looks like today to live up to the glory of Jesus Christ, but I want to just say this again. It's going to be different than what I am now.